JC2S, Part 1.
Number 7B.
So let's go on now and begin the body of the text, which is an introduction, looking at then what Max says. We already now know the standpoint of the Christ is the Christ. So we go on to the introduction, which he shows then covers from 107:1 to 108:18. Now, there is quite a bit going on within an introduction. Again, we know an introduction continues to set the foundation, the very necessary points needed for understanding any subject. So now, again, he brings out and shows that is being brought out here in this point, discovery through revelation. So this is what Mrs. Eddy now is bringing out. So let's read this introduction and then come back and analyze it. So from 107:1 to 108:18. We'll read the whole introduction. That's a method of text interpretation, to read the whole thing through quickly and then come back to see what it says. In the year 1866, I discovered the Christ science, or the divine laws of life, truth, and love, and named my discovery Christian Science. God had been graciously preparing me during many years for the reception of this final revelation of absolute divine principle of scientific mental healing. This apodictical principle points to the revelation of Emmanuel, or God with us, the sovereign ever-presence delivering the children of men from every ill that the flesh is heir to. Through Christian Science, religion and medicine are inspired with a diviner nature and essence. Fresh pinions are given to faith and understanding, and thought acquaints themselves intelligently with God. Feeling so perpetually the false consciousness that life inheres in the body, yet remembering that in reality God is our life, we may well tremble in the prospect of those days in which we must say, I have no pleasure in them. Whence came to me this heavenly conviction, a conviction antagonistic to the testimony of the physical senses? According to St. Paul, it was the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. It was the divine law of life and love, unfolding to me the demonstrable fact that matter possesses neither sensation nor life, that human experience show the falsity of all material things, and that immortal cravings, the price of learning love, establish the truism that the only sufferer is mortal mind, for the divine mind cannot suffer. My conclusions were reached by allowing the evidence of this revelation to multiply with mathematical certainty, and the lesser demonstration to prove the greater, as the product of 3 multiplied by 3 equaling 9 proves conclusively that 3 times 3 duodecillions must be 9 duodecillions, not a fraction more, not a unit less. So that's quite a powerful introduction. So if we just begin now looking at the first part of the introduction here, it's called Discovery Through Revelation, page 107, 1 to 6, line 1 to 6. So let's just read that little bit together. Discovery Through Revelation. In the year 1866, I discovered the Christ science, or the divine laws of life, truth, and love, and named my discovery Christian Science. God had been graciously preparing me during many years for the reception of this final revelation of the absolute divine principle of scientific mental healing. Oh, which he can pack in a few sentences. Wonderful. All right, first of all, in the year 1866. We know in 1891, when she first brought out this chapter, she had said it a bit differently concerning what she discovered. She said in 1891, In the year 1866, I discovered the science of metaphysical healing and named it Christian Science. And then in 1902, she changed that because she could see that that was only part of what she brought forth was healing, but that healing happens dimensionally. We're talking about levels of healing, levels of consciousness going on. So she gave us a much more dimensional sense than just the level of Christian Science here. Wanted to show that her discovery was a dimensional discovery. So instead of saying in the year 1866, I discovered the science of metaphysical healing, which is just a one level Christian Science. She showed in 1902, in the year 1866, I discovered the Christ Science, or divine laws of life, truth, and love, and named my discovery Christian Science. There's that matrix of the textbook, Absolute Christian Science, the Christ Science. When she talks about Absolute Christian Science, it's always Christ Science. And then the divine laws of life. And, that's interesting. I just remembered I had noticed that. Well, let me bring out this point. I discovered the Christ Science and named it Christian Science. So you get a dimension here. Not just saying what I discovered was Christian Science, but I discovered how Absolute Christian Science, the first translation of the Christ, has its impact on Christian Science, which is the reformation or retranslation called healing. So she gives a dimensional sense of her discovery. But she says, I discovered the laws of life. Very important. You can see it was just the laws of life. Then it wasn't until 1907 that she put it the way we have it today. That in the year 1866, I discovered the Christ Science, or divine laws of life, truth, and love, and named my discovery Christian Science. I think those laws have much more to do with the divine science laws, not just the laws of truth, life, of life, truth, and love of Absolute Christian Science. I think because of that overall tonality of I learned these truths in divine science, that it's giving that accentuation of divine science behind Christ Science and Christian Science, indicating much more a dimensional sense. And I feel that's true because of that whole chapter being born again from divine science. I learned these truths. So it looks like we get right here a dimensional standpoint that Christ Science, that those laws of translation, first translation of Christ Science, which have their effect in retranslation on Christian Science called healing, that they're governed by those laws of life, truth, and love. The laws of the eternal development of the Holy Ghost on divine science. You see, because laws are God, if we look, and Louisa will show us that definition of principle, we see that whenever we touch laws, we touch God. And therefore, that definition for Mrs. Eddy defined God as a principle. Well, you know, this revolutionized science, theology, and medicine. It's on her definition for God. Again, this born-again sense coming in here of divine science. It's on this, her definition for God, that we have a whole new science, a whole new theology, and a whole new medicine. Because she said, I discovered the divine laws, not just laws of life, truth, and love, but divine laws. I discovered laws of God, divine laws. Now you see that she called God principle. And when we know the definition of principle, we see that principle in the dictionary means a fundamental truth. It means a comprehensive law or doctrine from which other laws or doctrines are derived, or on which other laws or doctrine are based. A general truth. So she defined God as the comprehensive law of the universe, which includes all other laws. So that is where she blows apart science, because science is based on physical laws, the laws of matter and energy, so to speak, and today attenuating a bit much more into metaphysical laws based on mathematical calculations. But she showed that I presented the divine laws. That's God. There is no other form to God than laws. God is a law. And when we talk about laws, we're talking about God. And that revolutionized not only science, because they're divine laws, they're laws of God. And it revolutionizes theology, because they're divine laws. It's not an anthropomorphic, mythological man in the heaven with the Holy Family around them. Mythology. You see, it totally revolutionizes mythology, theology. And it totally revolutionizes medicine based on mythology and based on physical laws or mental laws. So you see, she's showing right here by her discovery of these laws of divine science, these laws of life, truth, and love, which she calls the Holy Ghost, which she calls the development of eternal life, truth, and love. That these laws, you see, are always going on. Just to get it exactly there in the glossary, when she defines the Holy Ghost, she defines the Holy Ghost, and I can look it up for you here, on page 588, as divine science. See, on page 588, if you want to look, I'm quite sure these are the laws she means here. Because you see, on page 588, she says that the Holy Ghost is divine science, or the development of eternal life, truth, and love. See, what she discovered was, I learned these truths in divine science. I learned those laws of the Holy Ghost. I learned those laws of divine science. I discovered those laws of cybernetics, those divinely self-operating, self-organizing, self-regulating, error-preventing, error-correcting laws. You see, the dimensional laws which are behind Christ science and Christian science. And this then revolutionizes science, theology, and medicine. Look what's there. You see, that's what we have. That's a whole dimensional structure she's showing right in there when we know her language. That's what she discovered. So you see, this tone of this chapter, the science that governs changes, the science that governs through the laws of the Christ, the rebirth of science, theology, and medicine onto those laws of God. So you see then, right in a sentence, when we have tonality consciousness of the system of reference, we right away can glean from her what she discovered was then those levels of divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, which are operating according to the Holy Ghost of divine science, according to the development of those eternal laws of life, truth, and love, then those self-organizing, self-regulating, error-preventing, error-correcting laws operating through feedback. Then she goes on and says, well, God had been graciously preparing me during many years for this reception of this final revelation of the absolute divine principle of scientific mental healing. So we see then another sentence filled with information. All right? God had been graciously preparing me. We know now that that has big meaning in the textbook. Max Kapler has shown that through his work with the sixth chapter in the cassettes we have listened to concerning the sixth chapter, that then the gracious preparing then is all the, well, of course we know also that the gracious preparing builds not only from the textbook, but also the gracious preparing comes from the work of the Bible, through the first 5,000-year periods of the Bible, as consciousness is graciously prepared from Genesis through Exodus, through Joshua and Judges, through 1 and 2 Samuel, through the minor prophets, into the New Testament of the four Gospels and the Epistles and Revelation, into then the standpoint of the textbook of prayer. And you know she built on the Bible, and that her whole background was constantly turning to her Bible, which then would show her prayer in the chapter of prayer, real prayer. And we know that as a child she retired 7 times a day to pray. So she went through the gracious preparing of the chapter of prayer. But the Bible had prepared that background for true prayer, that background from going out from that mind, spirit, soul, principle, life standpoint, in tonality. It's there. Whether she knew it as system intrinsically and could give us the structure, one can't help by years and years and years and years of a small child going from being a small child, going through the Bible, not to pick up that tonality of that flow in the Bible, of those 1,000-year periods. It would be there in consciousness just by going over and over and over and over it with such devotion. So the Bible graciously prepared her for the standpoint of true prayer, which we know her standpoint of true prayer is to go out from that mind, which is God, to go out from that principle, which is life, as given in the Bible, and then to be willing in atonement and Eucharist to wed oneself with that principle and to give up all that is not like that principle. And right from an early age, we know then that she felt that atonement was for all, that it was an impersonal atonement. It wasn't just an atonement for a few, but that everyone would be atoned. Again, you pick that up through the Bible, because we know in the Bible there that through especially the minor prophets, it shows that salvation is for all, that all are saved. So she went against then, we know that congregational church up in Tilton, where she would go against then final judgment and the eternal banishment of the sinners from heaven. And so they let her in, allowed her to come in, even though she wouldn't yield on the fact that she knew atonement was for all. So they gave her that leniency and let her into the church, not making her change her standpoint. Then we know in the marriage, which is just the outcome of true prayer, of going out from principle and letting the Lord speak to my Lord, that's true prayer as shown by David, and then wedding ourselves to that principle standpoint, and the outcome is a higher humanhood, and therefore we know her experience of marriage was on the negative, either we learned it through science or suffering, that marriage experience brought her closer to her fidelity to the truth because of its unhappiness. And therefore we know then that she went into the experience of Christian Science versus spiritualism, showing then that only God creates man, that man does not create man, that that her science was the science of spirit God, the science of the pure one's value logic of God, which handles the belief of spiritualism, that principle God can be turned into its opposite. And there she was a pioneer. She went against her friends of the day. Even though her friends were in spiritualism and having so much fun, you know, it's always sad to break up the fun. Nobody likes to break up the good times. You know, they'd rather say, well, let the good times roll. But a pioneer has to be the spoiler that comes in and says, I'm sorry, but the party ceases here for a while. Because she couldn't go along with all the fun of seances, and they were having a good time. And so she had to go against the friends and the circles of friends and say no, that it's Christian Science versus spiritualism. And she had the guts to do it. And said that Christian Science has nothing to do with spiritualism, It's just the belief that spirit God can be turned into its opposite, and then going to all those wizards that peep, all the wizards that peep the opposite. All the many minds are wizards that peep. The many spirits are wizards that peep. The many souls are wizards that peep. The many theories are wizards that peep. The many lives that we're regressed to are wizards that peep. The many states of consciousness, of mortal consciousness, are wizards that peep. And the many plans for our life are the wizards that peep out what we should do about our life. So she says, don't go to them. So she made a stand against those spirit circles in her day and stood up for Christian Science as a lonely figure, which a pioneer always is. Then she went on to the experience of animal magnetism, unmasked Guino, and saw through her life experience that influence in her life wasn't evil. All these influences that looked like a marriage that wasn't successful, or the spiritual circles of friends, and her experience with Quimby and mesmerism and hypnotism, that all these things were the Christ. It's really where the armies of evil are the armies of the Lord. They were the Christ that was bringing her into the true standpoint of science. And so she saw, therefore, that that there's only one power going on is God, that there was nothing going on. All her experiences were showing her that nothing was going on besides that divine standpoint. So you see, all these experiences were preparing her to be born again, to have that rebirth of divine science, to let that science govern changes in her life. And by doing that, then she could then saw the nothingness of any other power going on in the Animal Magnetism Unmasked chapter. Now we see that chapter stands for that only the Christ is going on, bringing out the maximum of good is God and its idea, through its, whether we know it or not. And that's the graciousness then that brings us into this sixth chapter of then that consciousness which allows that science to govern changes within our consciousness. So those word chapters then were the gracious preparing to let the light come in. Huh? It's like our window is dirty in the word chapters, and step by step, the window pane is cleared through those chapters of prayer, atonement, and Eucharist, marriage, Christian Science versus spiritualism, so that in the Christ chapters, the Christ shines through this transparent consciousness. So there's a lot in her statement we know of gracious preparing. So God had been gracious preparing me. Now this is important for what comes next. God had been graciously preparing me. Here you get that individual preparation of the Christ, that Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, where that Christ is coming to her, preparing her during many years for the reception of this final revelation of the absolute divine principle of scientific mental healing. Because there's so many schools according to this point of final revelation. Some people believe that this is a final revelation. Therefore, what Mrs. Eddy said is the last word in the textbook. There would be no further revelation or higher revelation, that it stops right here with the textbook. But we know that the textbook is a textbook for the 6,000-year period. It's giving us the science of Christianity, the science of truth, the science of the healthy, whole, divine consciousness. But Revelation goes on. It goes on to the 7,000-year period, where we have the textbook of the model of being. So what we see is that what she presented us in the textbook is this final revelation. Not the final revelation, that it is a final revelation, that it isn't a final revelation, but this final revelation to her situation, to me, that this is what came to me at this period. as that Mary consciousness, as that woman consciousness that was willing to let that science of which governs changes, that Emmanuel, that Christ idea happen to her. Just as the Mary of Jesus' mother was willing to let that Christ consciousness come to her at that period, which took the form of Christ Jesus. Mrs. Eddy was that Mary, that a transparent consciousness in the age of truth, which let the Christ happen to her, and her child came forth as Christ science. Which was then showing us her revelation from the standpoint of divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. And then, again, it shows that it was the absolute divine principle. Well, what she discovered then was this revelation in the textbook of the absolute divine principle. We know that she was looking for a principle of scientific mental healing, a principle of mind healing. She was always trying to find some principle of healing, you know, in that, in the negative sense, not negative, but in her life experience through allopathy and homeopathy and mesmerism and quimbyism, always trying to find some principle behind it. So in her revelation of Christian science, she discovered that principle that she was looking for, and of scientific mental healing. But it was a principle. We see, therefore, that principle would have been, as we saw, the laws. It didn't even have to go on again. But we saw then that she discovered the principle, which are those laws, because the principle is the law. She discovered the laws behind scientific mental healing. That's those laws of life, truth, and love. They're the principle, because principle means the comprehensive law of the universe. So she discovered the principle, or the laws of life, truth, and love, which we've already seen are dimensional laws, those laws of the Holy Ghost, those laws of the eternal development of life, truth, and love, which are self-operating, self-regulating, error-preventing, error-correcting laws. She discovered those multidimensional laws. That's the principle of scientific mental healing. So she discovered, you see, quite a science of mental healing, as she'll go on and call this a mind science, and show that what she discovered then, that those are principle is operating then as those laws of life, truth, and love on the level of divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, as indicated in the law that we were working with behind this chapter. That's what she discovered.